All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show veteran filmmaker Mark Lowe. He has directed a documentary entitled Count Me In, which is now available on demand from our friends over at Level 33 Entertainment. And this is a movie about drummers. Mark, and I know you went around and spent many years on this. What was the inspiration for this film, please?
The inspiration was, well, initially I did a bunch of projects with a company that did sample libraries, and we'd worked with Roger Taylor from Queen, and Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers, and Abel Boreal from McCartney, and a load of people, and it just incredible things. Just a realization they never really get the praise that they deserve. You know, they're the heartbeat of every band. And it, as Joe Strummer said, if your drummer's falling apart, the band's falling apart. So, and I just thought they needed a love letter to drummers just to say thank you.
I remember when Stuart Copeland, who you have in this, he did this like search for percussion around the world movie like 20 years ago. Did you talk to him about that?
Well, we did. I mean, we were very specific about what we wanted in the interview, but I talked to him about that when we were sitting down at his place. That was a great, that was an amazing thing. And he discovered, of course, well, he knew that you have a language or as a drummer automatically. You know, drummers speak the same language. You know, we travel the world. But he's a phenomenal player, and his influences are, you know, which is why the Police sound like no one else.
No doubt. I remember hearing an interview with Joe Strummer of The Clash, and he said, you wouldn't believe, because you think about the rhythm section, but he said, you wouldn't believe how many times we were just lost, and then Topper, the drummer, he said he would bring us back. Like, it's almost like the quarterback of the band.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a moment in there, I think, where, because it's been a while since I've seen my own film. I don't tend to watch it. But we have a lovely moment with him where he said, you know, they'd all run around like three Eddie Cochrans, you know, Mick and then he said at some point or other they just all look to me and I just go right and I lock them all back in again, 1, 2, 3, and they'd be solid again, you know. So they were free forming, but they were also, you know, really, really tight. And he's a lovely man, top of the head, and really great drummer.
You know, it's interesting when you think about equipment over the years, and a lot of people would just try to get John Bonham's like Ludwig drums and think, oh, I'll sound like him, and they don't. But then you can get like Neil Peart and have 5,000 little pieces of chimes, and you think, oh, I'll sound like him, and no, you won't. What is it about the kits and how they have evolved over the years?
Well, I mean, I think it's down to the player. I mean, it's the same with guitarists. If you say to, you used to hand a guitar to Eddie Van Halen, and it would be set up for another guitarist, it would still sound like Eddie Van Halen. And drummers are the same. I mean, ultimately, all drummers start from a basic trap kit, you know, which is snare, tom, bass drum, and that's it. And everything is learnt on that. So everything else you add, all the, you know, you see the massive kits, yes, like Neil used to have, and Roger Taylor, for that matter, of Queen, you know, these huge, incredible-looking kits. And then you go to Ringo, you know, who's just got a basic Ludwig drum kit. But it's personality. They, you know, it doesn't matter, of all the drums you have, your personality comes through. We just lost a wonderful player in Clem Burke of Blondie. And it was Clem Burke. You hear him, the moment you hear him play, it doesn't matter if he was with Eurythmics or if he was playing with Blondie, it's Clem. All that snare work and everything, it's just phenomenal. So it's character. Abel Boreal, I mean, he drums the parts that Ringo Starr originally played. But it doesn't sound like Ringo Starr, it's Abe playing those parts. You can hear Abe in it. If you sat Ringo down, it would sound like Ringo.
It's so funny you say that, too, because I'm a big Sabbath guy, and I remember going to a concert, and, you know, Bill Ward is no longer with us, but even though it wasn't, it was, I don't want to say simplistic, but Bill Ward had a style, and you could hear it when he was there, and you could really notice it when he wasn't there. Even though you had Iommi and Geezer and Ozzy, you could notice it.
Yeah. No, you're completely right. It's just one of those things. You know, the characters shine through, and I think they did a lovely dedication to going back again, actually, to Ringo for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where all the different drummers sat down, Chad, Stuart Copeland, Abel Borel, a whole bunch of them. And they all played different parts of Jim Keltner, another brilliant player, who's in our film. And they all sat down and went through playing different parts of his, but it doesn't sound the same. You know, Ringo will be Ringo. Phil Rudd of AC/DC is another one who plays really simple beats, but they just sound exactly right. He would have been a nice one to get, but we couldn't go to Australia, unfortunately.
Couple more questions here from Mark Lowe. The film Count Me In, available on demand. And when you talk about characters and panache, was there any more of a showman than Keith Moon?
No. And that's, I think you've chosen the right word there. He was an absolute showman. It wasn't just, you know, he could play the drums, he could keep a simple beat, but that wasn't what he was about. He entertained, you know, and some drummers don't. Some drummers sit behind that kit and they just want to hold the beat, they just want to lock everyone together, but he wanted you to feel the energy. When we have a moment in the film where we go back through Who Are You by The Who, and then get it, you know, then we basically sort of look at it and start to pull it apart and what have you, just to show you that it wasn't all craziness. You know, there was lots going on, but it wasn't all mad. And Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, he drums it, and he's brilliant, and he takes us through it. At the same time, we have Keith alongside him, and we switch between the two when we see how it's, you know, how it's formed, and you get a much better idea about, you know, I mean, he was, you know, he was a crazy guy, and I mean, you know, he didn't last that long, unfortunately. It was a shame, but he burned bright. Let's say that.
Well, then the opposite end of the spectrum, and conspicuous by his lack of showmanship, you would say, is Charlie Watts. I mean, here's Keith Richards and Ron Wood and Mick Jagger running all over, and then you have a guy who looks like he would rather be someplace else on the drums.
They made a film years ago, well, on their 25th anniversary, called 5 by 25. And he said, yeah, 25 years, 5 years, 5 years drumming, 20 years waiting around. he always looked forward, but he was, I mean, phenomenal. But yes, as you said, he's very economic, I suppose, as a player. Like, he wouldn't, when he hits the snare, he doesn't hit the hi-hat. That was his style. He lays off the hi-hat. Most drummers, you know, sound out on all four on the hi-hat. So he was just, and he had that, I think we do look up Honky Tonk Woman at some point, and it starts at one tempo and finishes way up on another tempo, but you don't notice. You feel like you're suddenly speeding up or anything, and that's his groove. He just has a natural feel for how to move the music. So you start kind of groove, and at the end of it, it's really moving, and that's his genius. And the whole band moved with him. I mean, it was his band. He started it. You know, it's him and Brian. So yeah, it was remarkable. I mean, when we finished the film, we tried to get him for the movie, and he'd not been brilliantly well, I don't think. So
yeah,
we couldn't. We did speak to the Stones, and they were very nice, but it didn't happen. And then when we came to do the initial thing for the film, he passed, and was just we've lost a few over the last couple of years. Taylor, who was in our film as well, Taylor Hawkins, who's an absolute sweetheart. That was a shock. So at least we have something there to celebrate them, which is great.
You know, it's also understood, like, a lot of times when drummers, like, who is your influence, and people, they almost always will say that their first guy was Ginger Baker with, you know, Cream, and played with Clapton. And I remember Ginger Baker saying, don't call me a rock drummer, I'm a drummer. Like, he had a problem with that. But what was your impression of what Ginger Baker brought to the whole genre?
I think Ginger, I mean, Chad said, I had a conversation with Chad Smith, and he said he was a jazz drummer in a rock drummer's body. He hated being called a rock drummer per se. He didn't want to be categorized. And he kind of wasn't, I suppose. I mean, he introduced African rhythms, which, you know, we didn't have around in rock bands. You know, when he started with Cream, it was kind of with jazz, and then it was African kind of tom work. And then he went off to work with Fela Kuti in Africa, and to explore that more. So I think he was a world kind of drummer. I think he really was. But I mean, he he spent time as a rock drummer and as a jazz drummer, and I did think he liked to have as many ingredients to hand as possible. I mean, a nightmare to work with, by the way. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Beware of Mr. Baker, which is a brilliant documentary. But I mean, he breaks the director's nose in the first 5 minutes with a walking stick. So he was a difficult man, to say the least. And he, again, when we were making the film, he was very ill, in ill health. And we wish him all the well. You know, he's gone now, but he left an amazing legacy. You know, there's no question about it. But I think you're right. He's definitely he was right to say he wasn't just a rock drummer. Not that there's anything wrong with being just a rock drummer. He was a character as well, which, you know, some people feel the music's getting bland, but I think there's a lot of characters out there.
One last question for you, just have a couple minutes. And I think people forget how good Phil Collins was as a drummer. We just think of him more as a front man. But if you just watch some of his earlier sessions, he was a brilliant drummer.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to do something, but we wanted to do something with him. And I think the fact that he doesn't play drums now, because he's can't play drums physically, he's not able to anymore. Kind of makes it difficult to sort of sit down and chat about drums, but he was remarkable. Samantha Maloney, who was in Hole and Eagles of Death Metal, massive fan of his, and we talked a lot about it, but he ended up, we couldn't include all the drummers we love. But I think Phil Collins, as you've said, it was remarkable. He was in a band called Brand X, which is like a jazz fusion band before Genesis. And you hear the work there, and you realize he was technically way ahead. Then of course, all the stuff he's done with Genesis, all the drumming he did for them. I mean, everyone knows the In the Air Tonight drum riff. I mean, he probably, I don't know if he hates it, maybe he doesn't, who knows, I don't know, because, you know, but everyone knows if you put that on in a room anywhere, and one, if not everyone in that room, will immediately air drum their way around that imaginary kid. Because you can't not. It's like writing a brilliant guitar riff. He's just written his Smoke on the Water or his Stairway to Heaven on drums. That's his riff. And it'll always be there. Always be there.
That's a great point. We've been speaking with Mark Lowe. Everyone should check out this great film, Years in the Making. It's called Count Me In from Level 33 Entertainment, available on demand. Mark, congratulations on the film. Thanks for coming by, and let's catch up on your next one.
All right. Thank you very much, man. All the best.